Behind the delivery trucks that keep your life stocked, thousands of employees at BP go to work every day. People bringing a new offshore production platform online. People making our refineries capable of more, like making renewable diesel from agricultural waste. People trading and shipping fuels to our customers. And people helping truckers fill up and get maintenance at our convenient locations. They're part of almost 300,000 jobs BP supports across the country. Learn more at bp.com/investing in America.
Broads, this episode is brought to you by Calm, the app designed to help you ease stress and get the best sleep of your life, which I think we could all use right now. And you deserve, Broads. You get that rest.
I legitimately look forward to winding down for bed each night using my Calm app, because Calm has an entire library of programs designed specifically to lull you into deep sleep. Things like soundscapes, guided meditations, and over 100 sleep stories narrated by familiar soothing voices like Stephen Fry and Kelly Rowland.
I think I speak for everyone when I say being read a bedtime story by Kelly Rowland is the only way I would like to drift off to sleep from now on. So get the Calm app today and experience a transformation in the way you sleep.
For listeners of the show, Calm is offering a special limited time promotion of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/chatty. That's 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library, and new content is added every week. Get started today at calm.com/chatty. That's calm.com/chatty.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Well, hey, Broad, so here's the thing. Beck and I recorded the episode that you're about to listen to yesterday morning, Wednesday morning, and that's when we had first heard about Chris Harrison's interview on Extra with Rachel Lindsay. So, of course, you're about to hear us go in on it for the next 40 minutes, hashtag fire Chris Harrison. But since then, mere hours after we recorded it, because it's Bachelor Nation and there's always something moving, Chris Harrison issued a... and I'm going to put this in air quotes, an apology on his Instagram, text only, not actually seeing his face, pretty much saying a lot of empty words, and also mentioned something about being grateful for the accountability. But of course, for the first few hours, he didn't have the comments on because probably not, you know, wanting to get called out. Anyways, Beck and I will be definitely covering Chris Harrison's apology on Tuesday, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of other things from there in the next couple days that occur that we will be covering in our Tuesday recap, but just wanted to give you a heads up about that. Also, when we recorded this episode Wednesday morning, we were not aware that a petition had already been made by a few people. Thank you so much for making this, to petition ABC to remove Chris Harrison as host. So we have included that in the episode notes. Also, in the episode notes, wanted to mention that yesterday, Taylor Nolan and Michaela Bartholomew, Michaela is a broad who came on Chatty Broads a few months ago for our episode Getting Called Out and Getting Called In, and she's absolutely incredible. And she recently started a podcast called The Black Chillerettes with one of her friends, Victoria. And her and Taylor Nolan did a live Instagram video, or live IGTV, you know, whatever it's called, I'm old, yesterday regarding Chris Harrison's interview. And if you listen and watch anything, I would highly recommend that. So also included in the episode notes are Taylor and Michaela's Venmos, because of all the labor that they did yesterday and that they continue to do and have been doing. So yeah, just wanted to give you all a heads up about that. Like I said, any new news that's coming up, we will be covering in Tuesday's episode. Let's get into it, Broads.
Hello, Broads.
Hello, Broads, and happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Me.
Yes. Happy birthday. I know this is dropping on Thursday, but we're recording on Wednesday, which is Becca's birthday.
We are.
Thank you for gracing us with your presence on your actual B-Day.
Thank you, guys. Thank
what
you.
What a God.
You know, I just, I'm a really selfless, generous person. And so my thought was like, what more would I want to do on my birthday but serve other people and you know, give something to others? It's just who I am. You know, it's my favorite way to celebrate. Giving is the best gift of all.
Of course. There were like zero Jesus presents. Himself. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you inch closer and closer to your Jesus year, the more Christ-like you become. And we're here for it. Honestly.
Amen. Sister.
You're in all white. You Amen. Are in the presence of the Lord.
Peace and love to all of you.
We love you and happy birthday, baby.
Thank you, queen. So today, I mean,
well, we obviously
there's no way to segue into.
Well, I'm gonna say this for you.
Okay,
I'm gonna say this to you, Broad. So obviously, per our typical tradition, we recap the next day or mm-hmm. you know the night of mm-hmm. technically, mm-hmm. and our recap is now later because you know. Becca having a little downtime birthday celebration. So now we're recapping a few days later, but I'm honest to God glad that we are because some real shit hit the fan with Mr. Chris Harrison. Broads, we're going to get into the actual Bachelor episode in a second, but first we need to address the elephant, aka demon in the room, Chris Harrison.
Bro, you know, when was that? Maybe like a actually kind of a long time now, probably like 8 or 9 months ago or some shit when we were just like coming for him being like, I'm over his fucking ass. Fuck him.
Oh, coming so hard. Mm-hmm. Listen, we got a lot of shit for coming for Chris Harrison. It's like, it's too much. And we're like, we just are not okay.
Lauren
and
you know Zima what? I will be followed me, you know, it was a lot.
Oh, yes. It was I remember lot. That. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. And that was a little overwhelming. But I mean, here's the thing. We, especially since the quarantine seasons, he has been kind of this role in the show that has been almost more of like a caricature. And so I feel like we haven't been coming for him as much because it's more been like
funny.
He's been ridiculous on the show. Yeah. Like funny, like playful. You know, him pulling up with the ice cream carts with Tayshia. It's like they're using Chris Harrison as a prop.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. Yeah. And even in this episode with the whole Heather situation, it was just like, my God, this is just.
Yeah, yeah. I feel what you're saying with the caricature. It's like, it's silliness. But this is the thing that's been bothering me about Chris the past few seasons is that, or a couple seasons or whatever, is now he just like has this voice where he just gets to say shit because he's like Chris Harrison and gets to comment on how he feels about the season. And uh-huh. You know, he's sort of like taking on sort of like a Lauren Zima role of being like I'm gonna spill the hot tea, you know, like, I don't know. It's so annoying and it's just been annoying. But then now, oh, my God, I just sometimes people get so far up their own ass because I've been there that they really think that they are like above reprimand, above having to have any kind of like, you know, PR. Like, I'm sorry, you have been in the spotlight for how many years now? And you really are so far up your own ass and so entitled. You think that it's fine for you to just completely write off racist behavior for 15 minutes just because you're down for this chick on the season for whatever reason, because she gets far, because she ends up with Matt, whatever the fuck.
I will explain this in a moment, Broads, but when I tell you my mouth on the floor, exactly what you're saying, where I'm like, has anyone said no to this man in the past 5 years? Like, has anyone checked him? The way that he interrupted Rachel Lindsay every time she tried to speak and just bulldozed, like, we've seen Chris Harrison do some shit, like, and say some like snide comments. This,
I'm sorry, like, it's the fucking epitome of rich ass white dude bullshit. Like,
yep.
And I know some of y'all are sick of hearing it, but this is the This is just, I'm sorry, classic example. Classic. And you know why he felt so comfortable saying it? Because he doesn't think that there's going to be any fucking repercussions. Because he's making millions of dollars a year.
Yes.
With his stupid face that I'm so sick of now.
With his manly bands, they're probably absolutely killing it. There's been a lot of engagements during quarantine.
And he's like, you know what? I get to say how I really fucking feel, and how I really fucking feel is trash. But I'm just going to say it because nothing's going to happen because I'm untouchable. That's the kind of like vibe I was getting.
This is a man who has been stuck in quarantine, festering about politics, angry about having to respond to the demands that the community is making, saying The Bachelor needs to be more diverse. The Bachelor needs to, you know, like, I mean,
he's angry. People just wanted him to post a fucking black square. That's what he's pissed about.
Yes. I couldn't even believe it. I couldn't believe it.
You know, I couldn't. And then, like, you know, it's like immediately after you're like, yep.
Oh, no, you believe it. Mm-hmm. You just can't believe whomst allowed him to go unchecked. Whomst was letting him do these interviews without anyone in the room being like, cut the camera. He's on a rampage. Turn it off. Cut the mic.
Okay, so let's talk about what happened.
Okay, so obviously we've been talking about the contestant, Rachel Kirkconnell, from Matt's season a bunch. We've been talking about
what'd we
the
say
that have surfaced about her.
I'm sorry. It's just like I said, bad vibes.
But all these things started to surface, you know, like
first
we talked about
was,
in past yeah. episodes.
Yeah.
It was that one girl from from TikTok saying like she used to make or bully me for liking black men, but then people were like that girl didn't even go to Rachel's school, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
That started out as a bit of a rumor, you know. We can call it like that's a rumor. There might have been truth, might not, but it's like, all right, let's see where we go from here.
And then photos started to surface of her where she was liking pictures, and in the background there was a Confederate flag. We were seeing,
oh yeah, she was liking posts of her friends all in like Trump hats too, being like,
yeah,
shit like that.
There were old photos that surfaced of her, or older photos that surfaced of her culturally appropriating Indigenous regalia, and then she.
And so was her family, by the way. They found photos also.
Yes, and then. Recently, and we didn't talk about this, there were a lot of people that were posting screenshots of her parents' Facebook posts, specifically her dad, saying really terrible things, and I don't have them on me, but they were just blatantly like racist. It was not good. It's her dad, it's not her, but
sure.
Here we are.
Yeah.
So all that stuff
was
coming. Yeah,
the dad thing is another one where I'm like, yo, I get it. I have some completely different opinions than my parents, you know.
If you'd see some of my family's posts, you should see some of my yelling matches with my family and what sometimes Christmas dinners look like. Basically that was kind of what was surfacing. And then a photo came out of Rachel in 2018 at an Antebellum ball with her sorority and a fraternity.
Yeah, it was a frat formal. The theme of the frat formal was Antebellum ball,
which is Old South Plantation. Okay, and in the photo we see Rachel in like her hoop skirt dress. And we didn't see this specifically with her, but in other photos you see these balls. They include Confederate flags, men wearing Confederate uniforms, all the girls are in hoop skirts.
It's about history.
Well, guess what? Historically, I think in just colleges in general, in 2016, outlawed this practice, said, hey, this is fucking racist, so this needs to stop. Now, a few fraternities and sororities have decided that even though it was outlawed and discussed why it was outlawed, by the way, given reasons so people know why, so it's being explained. It's not just like, this is a bad party. No explanation. Reasons why. Some are continuing to do it, a.k.a. Rachel's sorority fraternity that she's associated with. In 2018, 2 years after it had been outlawed in 2016.
Which, by the way, I just want to say this real quick, because I know people who I've had conversations with who are like, you know, when you're talking about taking down statues and stuff, like, it's part of history. We can't just erase that part of history. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you don't see Germany, any people in Germany doing little like, oh, let's just have a party where we dress up like Nazis. And like, that's part of our history. And yep. like, we are not racist. And like, we didn't try to exterminate this whole segment of the population. It's just, you know, it's just part of history. It's just the outfits are fun. And it's the same fucking thing. When you're dressing up with Confederate uniforms and the Confederate flag, those people were fighting to preserve slavery, to keep people enslaved, being killed, being tortured. That is what those people were fighting for. It's not just fun and games and preserving history to dress up and role play in those roles. That is, to me, the exact same as dressing up in a fucking Nazi uniform and saying that it's just, you know, for fun and we just want to remember our history and our roots. No.
Correct.
No.
No.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Correct. Yes. And so I had a lot of people sliding into my DMs last week about the whole Rachel thing, and wanting to be like, and saying like, you know, I come from this part of the country, and until last year, I knew nothing of such and such. Yeah. So I do want to give her, and we've had that conversation, and I definitely appreciate everyone reaching out to me and talking about this, but. This crosses a major line, especially when you have the group in 2016, the colleges, the universities saying we're not doing this anymore and this is why, and them continuing to participate just because they want to have a fun party. And
you know why I see go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say in Chris Harrison and Rachel Lindsay's conversation, which we'll have in a second, Rachel Lindsay was saying, she was like, I just want to hear what we've been talking about the whole time. Like, I just want to hear Rachel say something at this point. And she says, Rachel said, I know she can say something. Like, I know she can. Maybe it's
Rachel
maybe
Lindsay
it's not.
Says, yeah, yeah.
I know. Yes, I'm sorry.
I know
Rachel Lindsay
Kirkconnell
said,
can say something.
I know Rachel Kirkconnell can say something, even though, of course, you know, it's like frowned upon more by producers because if she's probably going to go far, and Chris Harrison kind of alludes to that. You know, she was like, I just want to hear her say something. She goes, if these conversations were happening, like perhaps she's had a huge life change in the past 2 years or something, I would like to hear her speak. And, you know, Chris was just like, why would you want to rush this? Blah, blah, blah. And she was like, we've all known about this for 2 months. Okay. So everyone, and there's just more that keeps coming out. And I heard about from Reality Steve and Ashley Spivey that producers aren't letting her talk. But
what do you mean
Rachel
aren't
Lindsay,
letting? I'm sorry. No, producers don't get to dictate what you say or do on social media.
Yep.
Like, I'm sorry. That's just not the case. And I'm sure Rachel would love to be in the good graces, though, of ABC. And so if she gets to go on Paradise and just sweep this under the rug, she is going to. I'm sure she doesn't want to say anything about it. And this is what I have an issue with the situation. This is because I think that this is a bigger issue that happens in our culture and society a lot. To me, this is actually, in a way, like, I don't think any of this, you know, what people are going to say, and I in some ways sort of agree with, like, I don't think this is like direct overt racism. I think it's very passive. I think it's just like, you know, everyone's going to give Rachel the benefit of the doubt of, oh, this is how she raised, it's culture. She was just their friends. She never actually said anything herself. You know, she voted for Obama, whatever the fuck people are going to say. But that passivity and that quietness and silence, and I'm just going to go along with all of these people who are doing role playing of
racist Southerners. I'm just gonna, it's fun. It's just my whole sorority's doing it. I'm just gonna do it. It's like, I'm not gonna say anything. You know, my friends are wearing Trump hats and, you know, I'm not gonna say anything. My friends are posing in front of the Confederate flag. You know, that's just, it is what it is. That whole attitude is the biggest issue we're facing right now. Mm-hmm. And because Rachel is a pretty, likable, sweet girl, it's like, oh, we're gonna give her the benefit of the doubt. And this is the whole issue, is that black and brown people don't get the benefit of the doubt. But people like Rachel always get a pass. People like Chris Harrison always get a pass. You know, everyone tries to explain away their actions. Mm-hmm. Where, like we saw in 2020, like when George Floyd was murdered, people rushed to start explaining why he got murdered by cops. Mm-hmm. But, oh, he was actually like a really bad guy. We found that he had that. What? Mm-hmm. And yet these same people are going to rush to explain away how it's not that big of a deal what Rachel did. You know, she's a nice girl. She's a nice, white, pretty girl, guys. I bet she had other intentions. It's just bullshit. And I don't think, like, I in some ways do feel like a little bad for Rachel personally, that she's going to be this one who's hopefully going to be made an example of. But to me, she's representative of a much larger issue. Mm-hmm, and I definitely don't think it's her. And I think it's a privilege that all of, like, that that we benefit from. I think it's passive behavior that I have engaged in the past. And so I do want to make that clear, that this is the kind of behavior that I have engaged in times when I was more ignorant. I'm sure you have as well, Jess. I'm sure many of you listeners have. And that's probably why people feel defensive of her. But it needs to be held accountable, because it needs to be an example of how this kind of behavior isn't okay, and there needs to be actual repercussions. And I do feel a little bad that it has to be with Rachel, since there's literally like hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that have done the exact same types of behaviors. But she put herself on a show, and it's a show that put her in the public eye, and that was, she signed on to that risk. And so,
and the fact of the matter is, 1,000% everything, yes, that you're saying. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, it definitely appears like 99.99999% sure that she scrubbed her social media beforehand. Yeah. And there were a few remnants left over that were found from other people's social media. So obviously it's something to a certain extent that it appears that she was probably aware of that she could get heat about.
She's complacent, and so are so many other people in the United States. And so, I mean, sorry. It is what it is. And I think it's a big fucking deal. Like, wait, so now let's talk about the actual video. Sorry.
So let's talk
getting
about
a little derailed.
Let's talk about Chris Harrison. So all of
Chris
this is
Harrison's
going on.
Response to, go ahead.
So all of this is going on. Chris Harrison goes on Extra TV, where Rachel Lindsay is the host. And Rachel Lindsay asks Chris Harrison, so what's the deal with this whole Rachel Kirkconnell thing? Are we going to have a discussion about it? Are we going to hear from her? And Chris Harrison comes out like a bat out of hell. And
like it's his daughter, his own daughter.
Straight up. Like, my God. And is saying things like, oh, I don't know. When Rachel says, well, you know, Chris, this, like, she, I'm going to be paraphrasing here, but she said something like, well, Chris, obviously, this party is not a good look. And Chris Harrison goes, is it though, Rachel? Is it not though? Because in 2018, was it a bad look, or is it a bad look in 2021? And I threw myself.
Again, that's like, that's such bullshit. It's like, it was slavery bad look in 1862, or is it just a bad look in 2021? Yeah, it's a bad fucking look. Wrong is wrong, even if culture says it's right.
Yeah, it's like, dude, do you realize what just came out of your mouth? Do you realize what you just said is that, like, well, it wasn't bad until, like, we were getting called out for it. Okay, let's remember that, Rachel. And then Rachel Lindsay goes, well, I'm sorry, but, like, what would, how would I have been depicted if I went to that party in 2018, Chris? What would my role have been? Of course, he ignores that comment from her. And he starts to go off about the, if I heard Chris Harrison say woke police one more time in this interview, I Broads, if you want to watch it and deal with it, like there's, oh, it, yeah. Honestly, and then I could go through line by line, it was a problem.
Yeah, the gaslighting that was going on, the like excuses being made left and right for, but Rachel Kirkconnell is representing him. That's what I'm saying. Like people yeah. feel defensive of this because it's representing their own types of behavior, their complacency. They're like, let's just go along with it. You know, I didn't know. It's
he makes them. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say he waters it down, saying like, oh, it's a sorority party 5 years ago. She's like, no, it was 2018. That's literally like basically two years ago. We're in February of 2021. Okay,
yeah,
like, come on.
It was when we started the podcast, basically, to put it in perspective.
Yeah, and then Chris is like, yeah, trying to make it about wokeness, like. He's like, oh, would Rachel would have stopped and thought the mansion stood for this, guys. It's not woke that we are here. They just got dressed up, went to a party and had a good time. Yeah, I bet so did all the Southern fucking belles as slaves were attending to them back in the fucking 1800s. What? Just because you're unthinking doesn't mean it's okay. That's literally the problem in humanity is unthinkingness, is just going along with what everyone else is doing. Stand for fucking more than just doing what everyone else is doing. Come on, that's so idiotic.
And then he makes a statement about how what the problem is that, and he kept saying poor girl Rachel, he goes,
this poor sweet girl.
And then he goes, he kept saying the problem is all the people who are going to be coming at her, jumping to conclusions. And by the way,
they're the problem.
And he goes, and he goes, listen, there are two rights. Two wrongs don't make a right. He goes, the people coming at her, you know, are just as bad as like the people who are participating, blah, blah, blah. And it was like.
Yeah. Okay. Me. Okay, Chris. Yeah, and then you know what Rachel does agree. She goes that there should be. I'm going through the Spark Notes version basically yeah. right now. Rachel agrees that they're you know not true. Not everyone did know, and people sometimes because of the environment they're in and the culture they are in, and I've definitely thought about this a lot too. They really don't know, and you know I wasn't raised in the Deep South. You know, in a white community. I wasn't. And I'm sure that my journey would look a lot different if I was. So Rachel acknowledges that. Mm-hmm. And she says, what's frustrating is that Rachel hasn't spoken out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris just basically goes on, you know, why are we in such a hurry? It's been six fucking weeks. And then he's going on a thing about how people get mad about people's voter registration. Yeah, probably because he's also a registered Republican.
Did you hear the part when he goes, listen, you can never do anything right. OK, he goes, I get things from both sides. He goes, I get people coming into my comments, calling me some Hollywood elite wild liberal. And then some people calling me a Trumper and conservative. So like, really, you can't win. And I'm like, geez, Chris.
And then he says, this poor girl, Rachel, has been thrown to the lions. You mean like every fucking person you put on the show, Chris? Like this, what? You participate in a show where people get thrown to the lions every year. What are you talking about? Where were you to defend Luke P? when he was getting thrown to the lions, you know? Like, yeah, it's so ridiculous. Well, and then when Rachel says that, well, you know, Rachel Lindsay says that Rachel Kirkconnell is dating a black man, that adds more complexity to the situation. Chris says, where's the narrative of her falling in love with Matt? And where is that in this social conversation we're having? Where is it if she falls in love with a black man in all of this? Again, oh my God. I just can't. It's like, yeah. And again, back in the South, yes, white people were sleeping with and having relationships with. And, you know, sometimes it was consensual. And what does that make them not racist? Because they're mm-hmm. in a relationship or in a sexual relationship with their slave. What the fuck? Oh, my God. It's just he has clearly done it. absolutely no effort and no work to educate himself because he feels like a victim in a cultural movement to try to gain more understanding and try to correct injustices that our country was built upon. And he's just having none of it because he feels bad for himself and he feels bad for people like Rachel, who are literally the worst thing that is happening to them is that they are being called to take accountability for the shit they've participated in. That's all people are asking for.
Yes.
So fuck this man. Fuck this dude. And I know like people are going to say it's dramatic to say to fire him. He's old fucking. No, I'm done. I'm done.
No, it's you have crossed the line too many times, my friend. And now what we are seeing is you and your unhinged interviews and how you really think.
Poor Chris. Now he's getting thrown to the lions. Poor sweet man is being thrown to the lions. Oh, my God. It must be so hard to be making millions of dollars and getting held accountable for the bullshit that you willingly spewed
and you know
on a public platform.
And you know what's going to happen is that he'll have a couple thousand people angry at him. And well, he says that the plan is, in his conversation with Rachel Lindsay, he said that they're planning on having a conversation. He's like, and you know, I will grill Rachel Kirkconnell, like we will get into it, da 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 da. And it's like, oh, I'm sure that that's going to look like real heated, Chris. I'm sure that's going to be a really intense conversation.
Like, you know what? This all comes back to what the fuck is Mike Fleiss going to do? Because I got to tell you this. Mike Fleiss is always on Twitter, you know, being like, I'm this liberal Democrat who doesn't stand for bigoted bullshit, blah, 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 blah. That's what Mike Fleiss, who, by the way, guys, is like the creator of the show, you know, the biggest man. So that's to me where this really comes down to. Chris Harrison obviously isn't going to fucking step down willingly, but Mike Fleiss, who claims to be, you know, like this woke liberal Democrat, whatever, what is it going to come down to, Mike, for the face of your show? Are you going to have this dude who's fucking gaslighting Rachel Lindsay, who's like the only, oh, no, the first Black Bachelorette, like of the show, who's being like, this isn't, yeah. Is that what your show is going to represent? Is that the face that's going to represent your show, Mike Fleiss? So I would encourage everyone. I deleted Twitter, unfortunately. Get on Twitter. Make some noise. Tweet hashtag fire Chris Harrison.
Yep.
At Mike Fleiss. Blow Mike Fleiss up. Don't blow Chris Harrison up. He's not going to take accountability.
He's not going to care. Do that. Hashtag fire Chris Harrison and tag and link the video. Okay.
And tag ABC, tag Bachelor ABC, tag Mike Fleiss, whatever.
Because honestly, at the end of this conversation, one of the things that made me the most angry is that at the very end, Chris Harrison made a comment where he was just like, I'll have a conversation. And then he threw it in Rachel's corner and goes, I know I'm sure have many questions and be having a conversation with her on Bachelor Happy Hour. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that's what you're going to do. You just let Rachel Lindsay have to take the burden on of this conversation about racism again and again and again and again, and basically protect your franchise. No.
Yeah, and not putting literally any work to educate himself or hold other people accountable. It's just like it's the exact same shit. It's the passivity. It's the complacency.
Why don't you make Rachel Lindsay the new host? Why don't you actually give her that position? And by the way, sorry, JoJo, no shade, but you know, instead of JoJo coming in and doing the position,
Rachel would be fucking good.
Rachel would be so good because you know that she would actually like have like
after the final rose. Oh my God. She would come for people. It'd be so amazing.
And you know, she would actually come in and like when there's drama going on, would come in and have like really like help the lead with conversations that they're having a hard time, like knowing how to ask the questions of like, well, there's this drama, you know. It would have been like with Matt, what's like, well, this whole Victoria, all of the rage of Victoria, you know, Matt would have been like, I don't know who to believe, and Rachel Lindsay just would have been in the corner, just been like, let's have a conversation, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's just bullshit.
I know.
So fire his fucking ass.
Fire him. We're
Mr.
done.
Mr. my man, Matt. I'm not racist. I call Matt my man.
I can't even handle it anymore. It needs to be on.
Mike Fleiss, what the fuck are you gonna do about that, bitch? Come on, don't be a fucking pussy.
Figure it out.
Fire him.
Oh,
fire his ass.
I thought that this recap was literally just gonna be us recapping the episode, and then I saw that last night, and it was just like, well, here we go. Here we go, broads. Present
I didn't know I needed. An actual legitimate reason to fire him. I'm so over him.
Yes. Thank you. Well, before we actually get into the real recap part, would you like to have a quick chat about some of our wonderful sponsors? Yes. Let's do it. Broads, here's the thing. I can admit I am a bit of a skeptic at times, especially when it comes to switching out my tried and true beauty products for cleaner, more natural, newer brands. And don't get me wrong, I'm all about non-toxic natural product swaps. But when it comes to making the switch with the natural deodorant, I was a little hesitant only because I have tried to make the switch so many times already. But I will tell you this, I tried native deodorant and I was hooked instantly.
That's more than fair. I have to agree with you that a lot of natural deodorants, they just don't really work. When I was trying to switch over, I felt like if the product worked, it was just good for keeping me fresh for maybe a few hours, but I had to reapply. But Native is amazing. They have 10 scents to choose from, and every single one keeps you smelling fresh all day long. My personal favorite is Citrus Herbal Musk, but the Coconut Vanilla and Lavender Rose are very close seconds.
Mm-hmm. They have this ingredient, or the scents are insane. They're so good.
And they have the seasonal ones too, which I like.
Oh, I love the seasonal ones. They're so fun. What I love about Native, aside from the amazing scents, though, they offer that it's made with ingredients you actually recognize, things like coconut oil and shea butter, and they never use aluminum plus. Their formulas are vegan, and none of their products are ever tested on animals. To date, Native deodorant has over 16,000 five-star reviews. 16,000 five-star reviews. Oh, that's wild. That's just, you know, that's our hopes and dreams. 16,000 five-star reviews for this podcast. Native has it. We're jealous, but we get it. And it's loved by so many, including Becca and myself.
Make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/chatty or use promo code chatty at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/chatty or use promo code chatty at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Well, broads, there is so much about being a mom that I love, but if I had to pick my favorite thing, I would have the feeling it would be getting to watch my five-year-old discover new interests that turn into passions. There's something about watching a young mind take interest in something and dive into it head first that is like the most pure thing on the planet. I love to watch it. And over the past year, I've used KiwiCo to help introduce my daughter to new subjects and really put the power of discovery into her hands. And I have to tell you, I can't recommend KiwiCo enough. If you follow me on Instagram, you see my daughter regularly getting all sorts of hyped on KiwiCo.
Getting her KiwiCo on, baby.
Yes.
KiwiCo is a subscription box made for curious minds that delivers hands-on science, art, and geography boxes to your door every month. And every single thing you need to complete the projects is included in the box, which makes it super simple. It's a stress-free way to learn and explore with your kiddos. From sailing the solar system to conducting colorful chemistry, KiwiCo encourages young minds to think creatively.
Oh my gosh, and Ember has had her eye on that colorful chemistry set for months now. She found out recently that her great-grandfather used to be a chemist, and now it's just an obsession. And so that's just, she's got her eyes on it. But truly, every crate we get delivered has been absolutely amazing. The crate as a whole has one theme, and then the various projects help break down certain aspects of the concept into ways that are easy to comprehend and understand. It's been super helpful. It's been a super helpful way for us to encourage learning, especially now that school is done from home, and also like fun weekend projects when you're just kind of sitting around stuck at home, always a winner.
Mm-hmm. KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code chatty at KiwiCo.com. That's 30% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code chatty. KiwiCo.com, promo code chatty.
KiwiCo. All right. Well,
Let's get ready.
Oh, by the way, broads, I should have said this at the top of the episode, but we were talking about potentially having guests, and we were supposed to be joined today by Natasha and Justine from Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Good.
Oh, well. Listen, we will talk to them about this because we had a little bit of a schedule conflict, but they will be joining us in like 2 weeks-ish to talk all sorts of Bachelor tea. We have a lot that we need to break down. And so we'll get into this again with them because I want to hear. I love them so much. And by the way, if you haven't checked out their podcast, they have been like hot, hot fire this season. So, broads, we spent a lot of time talking about Chris Harrison. So, like, I mean, I think there's just some big major themes that we can break down.
Yeah, I did do a bit of abbreviated note taking this time. So,
I felt like there was a lot of just excess bleh in this episode. Like, there were numerous things that happened, but I feel like we should like just break down.
Yeah,
with this episode, some of the main chunks since we really got into it with CH.
So, like, we start with. I mean, even this first thing, like Jasenia is an MJ's 2-on-1. Like, I was never invested in this in the first place, and neither was anyone else, because Jasenia is sweet and she's smart, but we didn't know her. MJ became villain in, like, you know, over the course of 45 minutes. So we weren't invested in her villainry either, even though it's obvious she is the devil herself.
by a mile to me. MJ is the scariest one on this season. Like, everyone was just like, Victoria. I'm like, MJ's horrifying. Like, I'll be real with you. And by the way,
she's just also annoying. She's one of those girls that's just like, I'm a fucking badass bitch. And like, weak bitches, this shit. I'm like, stop. Stop, honey. Please stop.
And she's also with her lines, like you know, lead by example and weak bitch energy. I don't know if you noticed that she said that in one of the interviews, weak bitch energy. And then when she was talking to Jasenia said, I know you always talk about weak bitch energy. It's like,
so it's like, oh my God, how many times has she said
it? It was like,
this?
Oh my God, behind the scenes. Can you imagine what MJ's been doing for the past couple weeks where she's just like, well, they're having some weak bitch energy and like, we're not. And this is why and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh my God.
I only have one question from the fight. Who is Meredith? Why did they call her Meredith?
You're going to love this.
Meredith from Parent Trap?
Yes.
Meredith Blake? Yes. Bitch.
When Jasenia called her Meredith while MJ was shouting at her and Jasenia was remaining, by the way, I mean, Jasenia was.
She did a really good job of holding down the fort.
I don't know how she remained so calm and also delivered the best arguments and comebacks. Like, and while someone was yelling at her over her, like, I wouldn't even known like how to process what was happening. Jasenia, who is a Scorpio queen, remained completely calm and was just like, oh, I know, I've got this.
Dude, I would have thrown something at MJ. Like, there is a point where someone is being so ridiculous and stupid and crazy that it makes me feel physically violent feelings, which is, I know that's not okay, but it would have taken everything in my power to not like punch a wall, break a table. And the way that MJ would scream over her and then Jasenia would say one thing back and then MJ would go, I'm done. I'm done, Jasenia. I'm done. I'm like, yeah, you want to talk about weak bitch energy? It's when someone has a comeback and all you can do is, I'm done. Yeah, it's because you didn't have shit to say, honey, because you're pathetic. I can't stand her.
It
heated today on my birthday.
Heated on your birthday. But oh no. And then she's throwing around, MJ's throwing around like, well, actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. So many times I was like, are you throwing around biblical references right
also,
now?
Also, like, actions MJ? Speak louder than words. Like, you mean like the actions when you were being like a fucking bully for like the past however many weeks?
Yeah, you mean how you're yelling at someone who's very calm right now? You mean those actions?
You mean you're how you can't be held accountable? Like, yeah.
Like, you're going to throw in some biblical references. Like, Jesus is not pleased with the way that you're acting right now.
He's all right,
not,
all I wanna,
is not happy.
All I want to talk about is how when MJ walked out, didn't see a single tear shed. She's in the limo. Jasenia gets the rose. And MJ's just like, I don't know how this could happen. Like, just fuming.
She walked out and she was ahead of Matt by like a foot and didn't say not a tear, not a word to Matt. Just dead silence.
Just planning how she's going to murder his family. That's what she was doing.
It was so scary. Like,
no.
And who do you think she's going to hook up with in Paradise? Because there's no way they're not bringing Jesenia and MJ on to Paradise to like try to recreate something.
Are they going to hook up MJ with a Yosef?
Queen.
A match made in hell. No, the thing that bugs me about people like MJ, the thing that I don't like about girls like her is that they talk all this shit about like weak bitch energy and how they're such a bad bitch. And I will tell you that she is not someone to actually be scared of because she'll never actually, her bark is so much worse than her bite. Ugh.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts. Like, you talk a loud game, honey.
A loud game. And honestly, you know, I have to say that when MJ gets, you know, kicked out, I'm thinking if I'm Jesenia, who just dominated that situation, I would be like, bye, peace out, like in like my interview and just be like huge smile, whatever. Jesenia remains so, she was just so regal and she was just like, I wish it didn't have to come to this, honestly. Like, and she's like saying, I'm proud of Matt and having his support means so much to me and that I can like, it helps me trust him and did it. And she's getting teary eyed. And there was not a word about MJ. And no, to that, I say, this screams here for the right reasons. Like,
that
you're like,
maturity,
I'm not even
to me.
Maturity, like this girl, I'm not even going to think of her again. I'm here for him. She's gone. I handled it with so much grace. I was just
bye-bye.
So impressed.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay, so, okay.
Yeah.
The next big chunk we need to talk about. You know, there are events that happen, like the cocktail party is canceled. This is just the beginning into Katie and Serena's whole thing. And so I was taken off guard. I was taken aback when the cocktail party is canceled and all of a sudden Serena does her random little attack. I was like, whoa, 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 what the fuck just happened?
I was like, I feel like your frustration is a little misdirected here, my friend. Like, what's happening? You're mad at Katie? You're mad at Katie? Everyone's confused, by the way. Like, this is not a moment where everyone's like, no one's like gonna is jumping on, which I what I love is no one is jumping on Serena's ship. Everyone's a little bit like, this is a weird stance to take.
Totally. And they're not like, they're not siding with her. They're also not like shutting her down. They're just kind of like awkward.
Yeah, it's just like, this is kind of almost embarrassing. Like, now you're going to come for Katie, but also all of us are way too tired to try to defend Katie and get into this. So like, just like,
let it be. I just think it's a lack of self-awareness. Like, Serena's whole thing was a big lack of self-awareness because it's like, dude, it was like Katie. Okay, well, we'll talk about it when we get into their confrontation. But the cocktail party is canceled. And the girls that don't get a rose. You know who I want to see on Paradise? I want to see Maggie on Paradise.
Becca.
She is so pretty, so sweet. Her exit was so sweet.
And also one of my favorite, her exit was maybe the one time we heard her speak on this show. Yeah. And we had the one clip where she makes Matt dance and he does like the most awkward TikTok dance of all time. Did you see this? It was like an ending clip after an episode.
No,
and it was so funny. And she was hilarious. And I'm like, yeah, come on, let's see more Maggie. And I did actually see Robert Mills tweet out and say, like, make a comment about like, Maggie, like, we're sad to see you go, specifically singled her out and said, we're sad to see you go. We want to see more of you on Paradise.
Totally. So,
and love I heard that. Someone else. So I heard another someone involved in production make some comment about how much they liked her. So I think behind the scenes, too, everyone really liked her a lot. So I really hope we see Maggie on Paradise.
Me too. And Ryan is really emotional over leaving too, poor thing.
I felt so bad.
I don't know
also
who you are.
I was just like, Ryan, I'm so sorry. It was a big emotions for being there for 1 week. I was like, this is intense.
Were they the only two that left?
The girls that went home. No, we had Maggie, Ryan, and then Britt after her.
Okay, that's what I thought. And we didn't see her.
After her trauma having to deal with Anna for 1 week. And then they're like, we just kept you around for all of that you had to deal with. So now bye. I mean, my goodness.
Poor thing.
My goodness.
We didn't even get an exit. We didn't even get a limo scene from her.
No, I'm like,
we didn't see literally anything. Like, I thought that she left too. I put it with a question mark, but I wasn't.
Yeah, sure. She's gone.
So now let's get into the ship between Katie and Serena, because this is really what I want to talk about. You know, at first I was kind of like, I was a little hesitant. I was like, you know, I've been a Katie stan, but you know, like, maybe she's really annoying in the house. Like, who knows? You know, I was just kind of like, maybe we've only seen like her good side. Maybe everyone's fed up with her. You know, I was like, all right, like, I'll hear you out, Serena.
Sure. You have your mind. You're open. You're opening your mind to what
my third
Serena
eyes open.
Might have to say.
I'm like, you know, who knows what kind of energy she's
We're
putting
not sure.
out.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, all right. Who knows? I'm not there. And then you do see it later, like you said, the girls weren't into it, and I'm jumping ahead of myself. Okay, now Serena shows up at Katie's door. Which, by the way, I'm wondering, like, do they each get their own rooms? Like, this is a suite. Like,
I think
do they
that,
have rooms?
I think that everyone, it's two people, if I remember correctly, per room.
Okay.
But maybe now that people are leaving, maybe Katie has a room to herself. But they are large bedrooms. That's for
that's
sure.
That's what I'm saying. A freaking suite. Like a breakfast nook.
And, yeah. And Serena comes in. Now, and again, to your point, My initial being, and I think if I'm being completely honest with you, it's for two reasons. I'm trying to, for a moment, give Serena C the benefit of the doubt. One, because you cannot deny her fashion. Her fashion is hot, hot fire. And yes. Two, mm-hmm. You know, I love to do the Serena voice. So I'm just like, right. Please don't take this yes. away from me.
Please, Serena, be on the right side of history.
Come on, Serena. And so when she comes in too, I'm thinking, okay, she, instead of going and talking about Katie behind her back or going to Matt about Katie, is going to approach Katie maybe with a solid reason of why she's upset with her.
Sure.
And what we get is like, you're just so annoying and you're here for the wrong reasons. You are not here for Matt.
I'm like, wrong reasons? What? Where did this come from? I'm sorry. There's a lot that you could say, but like, wrong reasons? And then she says that later on where she was like, you're the only one that's not here for Matt. And I'm like,
but it's like, how? And also, you're bringing up how Katie.
What's she here for then?
What is she here for? Also,
what's
you're
she here for that you're not here for, Serena?
You're bringing up that Katie is like constantly causing, she says that she's starting all the fires and that she's actually the arsonist. I'm like, so you're talking about the one time that Katie went to Matt after people were calling Britt a sex worker and brought up to Matt, hey, there's a lot of bullying going on in the house and someone could potentially have long-term damage because of this. So I think maybe you should bring that up. She didn't even mention names. She literally
no, exactly,
came in.
As she brings up. Yeah.
It's like that's literally all she said.
After the Jesenia MJ fight, I have to say it was refreshing to see two people that actually could duke it out. I was like, all right, like Serena has something to say back. All right, let's go. Let's do this, girls.
It's true.
But what Katie fought back with was just plain facts. And when they got elevated into that screaming match, I've been there. I was feeling it. My heart was pounding. I felt it. Woo!
Especially since Katie, we've seen Katie like so calm, cool, and collected this whole time, even though she's been dealing with so much shit and like trying to be the mediator for all of this drama and like have conversations. It was like, it was the last straw. She was like, I'm done. Like, this is insane. You're going to call me out for this? Like, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
This is one thing. I mean, we saw both their arguments. To me, it's Katie made a great point. She said, I didn't name names. That's not starting drama. Like, I don't think there's any argument to be had there. They, though, I want to note this. Katie starts naming names. She goes, like, I don't remember what the names. I don't remember something. She's like, I didn't say, you know, I didn't say Anna. I didn't name names and say. She said two girls' names. Like, it might
MJ?
Have been. MJ? Yeah. She's like, I didn't say MJ's name. I didn't say Anna's name. And then there's a jump. I have a theory that she named another name. I have a feeling she said she was about to say, I didn't say someone's name, that post-production for some reason would have edited out.
I have chills all over my body.
You know who I think it is?
Who?
I think it's Abigail.
Really? You think so?
No, I don't know. Who was the girl that they cut out her face like the weeks before?
Abigail.
I think it was Abigail. I do. I actually do. I do. I hope not. But that is, maybe it was, this is just a theory. But she was, it did seem like she was about to name someone else's name.
And maybe it was Rachel. Maybe it was Rachel.
I don't think so. Rachel's been, yeah. Rachel hasn't really been involved in any of that.
I just, at this point, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I feel it in my bones, and I have chills, and my nipples are hard, and just thinking about who it could be, I just can't. I know that the theory was being thrown around about Abigail. I just can't. My body and my brain can't wrap itself around that. She's just.
No, what if it was just like this? What if Abigail was just
so kind,
part of the thing, being like, oh my God, Britney's an escort, which, like, I don't know. This is just literally just a theory. I don't know.
Just theories. But I know what you're talking about, because I specifically remember when I was watching it, something felt weird. And now when you're saying that there was like a jump cut, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I don't know. For some reason, I was just like, oh, maybe it's Abigail. I don't know. But I don't know. There's nothing else to really back that up. But they're protecting someone. I will say that.
They're protecting someone.
I really don't actually think Rachel was involved in that.
Yeah, no, she's been pretty quiet with any and all drama.
Hi, baby. I'm working right now. I'll be done in a little while. Okay, I'm working. Yes, hi. I know. I'll be done soon. Can you go out with Dada? Someone isn't doing a great job of holding the children. No, I'm just kidding. Gray, love you. Okay, so.
So then Katie, when Katie,
a glass of water.
when she all of a sudden just gets up and goes, thank you for your feedback, and like runs away. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, our queen goes to therapy, and the term thank you for your feedback killed me. Like, just was done. And just was like, it was like she knew that she was going to continue. Like, it was just going to escalate more and more if she didn't just like cut it off.
Do you know what my favorite thing was? Serena's hotel flip flops that she was pounding down the hallway in.
I didn't notice. Things? No, were they just slapping? Just
Serena had like a size 11 hotel flip flop on, and she was walking, strutting through that hallway with those hotel flip flops a flapping in her wake. It was
oh my God.
It was the cherry on top for me.
That is hilarious. Well, then it continues, because Serena goes down to the other women. Which, by the way, they have the coziest setup I've ever seen. Yeah. There are books. There are, like, blankets. I was just living for it.
I was like, oh, all these girls are in with Serena. That was my first thought. I was like, oh, damn. Like, they're all against Katie. But then it.
Me, you know, too. And I was like, oh, my God, a whole crew? Like, this is so shocking. Yeah. Well, then, fucking Serena comes in so hot. And she was just like. She's just like, yeah, you know, well, she's coming in with her sex positivity to shock and awe. And everyone's kind of looking at her quietly at this point and is like, I don't know what you're like, why you have such an issue. And then Katie comes in and is like, you don't have to whisper about me, and sits down right next to her, which I love. And then Serena was like, I was telling them about our conversation, and that you said your main focus was not to be with Matt, which...
She's just like, I didn't say that. No, and they just get into it all over again. It's just ridiculous. It's just the same. It's just stupid.
And then they start all throwing around, by the way, this whole action speak louder than words piece again, like that MJ was talking about with Jessenia. And I was like, is there a Bible study happening every single night at this house? Like, is Matt facilitating this? Why is everyone talking about action speak louder than words? Why is this the theme of the season? I don't understand. Like,
I don't know, but that's also not a biblical reference.
It isn't?
No. But I feel like they talk about that in church a lot, but it isn't.
For some reason, it was just posted on every single church wall that I had, and I felt like I learned it like a Bible verse. You know what I might be thinking of? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I don't know why I associate those two together.
I still don't know what that means.
You know, it's like if you're like giving to charity, like don't let like
make it so make it so secret quiet that you don't even know you're giving the money.
Exactly.
Wow, that is a whole new level of activism. I'm just now subconsciously donating. I don't even know what my right hand is doing. That's how generous I am.
I'm pretty confident that I'm giving a lot to nonprofits, but I'm being so in tune with scripture that I'm not letting my left hand know that, like, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 99% sure that I'm actually participating in it. But, like, I'm just trying to, like, keep it quiet with myself.
I have to say this. I have to say something really important. And I have to pause and say this. You know, Kit grew on me slightly this episode.
Wait, what?
Kit grew on me slightly this episode.
Say it again.
She did.
You know what?
Me too. I she had a couple moments where I was kind of like, okay.
I was just like,
I had a slight smile on my face and I was like,
okay. Yeah, I'm kind of like, you came in, it felt like you came in very, in an insecure way, like I'm showing off all my shit and I'm the president.
This
and
is
I am
the only
boss.
Thing I have to offer, you know, right. It's like my mom.
And it's like, now you've settled in. I was even having these moments where I was laughing quietly to myself, watching like when they all later on in this episode, when they all come back from the bowling date, everyone's still in like their bowling shirts and they're all talking about it together. And immediately Kit is in a robe with like a hot wellness tea and is just like listening to them. It's like she ran upstairs and got her wellness on. It's just like being very calm.
So the first moment where I felt this is when she said like, yeah, like I don't know. She was just like, I don't know why Serena's going after Katie. She's like, I'm just focused on Matt and I's relationship.
Her
so shady and perfect, and I was like, yes, I did love that.
Her kind of monotone just being is kind of starting to get to me in a positive way, where I'm like, you're just,
I've seen a new side of her, and you know what this side of her is? She reminds me a lot, all out of nowhere, of an old friend of mine who I was roommates with at some point, who I kind of feel like Kit's kind of down. Like, kind of feel like Kit has this, like, kind of like when she gets insecure, like she either says really stupid shit or she doesn't say anything at all. But then when she's comfortable, she says funny things. She's kind of like always shady towards other people, like never starting drama, but has a comment about the drama that's going on and is like down to go out and get fucked up. Like, she'll be like,
yeah,
wait till I start buying everybody shots is like kind of, yes. I kind of like envision this, and I'm she's really growing on me. So we'll see what happens.
I'm starting to picture her be the type of person who doesn't move her face much because she doesn't want to wrinkle. Like, her mom's taught her from the beginning, like, if you do a lot of facial expressions, you're going to get fine lines. And so she never has any facial expression. So you think you're like, oh my gosh, this chick is just like so shady. But then when you're puking in the bathroom, instead of judging you, she walks in and she's just like, here, honey, stand up straight. Put this lip on. Put this red lip. They'll never know. And like dabs around your mouth and gives you a red lip and is just like, act fine. And like walks out and like tells you, no, is your friend in kind of an icy way, I feel like.
No. I don't see that at all. I see that she, when she's when I see her as being someone who warms up. And when you're puking in the toilet, she's giggling and like videotaping, not in a mean way, but like, like, bitch, you look so dumb right now. Like, I'm going to show you this in the morning. Like, I see her actually being like really warm and fun once she warms up. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know where this is coming from, but I suddenly feel like my ice cold heart towards Kit is maybe slightly being melted. I don't know. Anyway. Enough about that. So yeah, I mean the
also
I can't believe Serena. She's
also
canceled to me.
Also Jesenia right away pops in, and that's when we have then like vocal confirmation that they don't agree with her, where she says
yes.
She's trying to be, you know, just bring everyone together. She's like, last night sucked. Can we just move forward, like girls? Can we just not be yelling at each other and just be done with all of this?
Yep,
this ridiculousness.
Well, okay, we've got a bit more to cover. We got to talk about Heather showing up before we do a quick pause.
Yes, let's do a little and then one more quick little pausey. So broads, it's almost Valentine's Day, which means a lot of us are thinking about what we can give to our partners to make them feel loved and appreciated, which is great and all. But I say let's also focus on what we can give ourselves to make sure we feel loved and appreciated, because it's been one heck of a year, to put it lightly. And the best gift that I know I can give myself is space to focus on my mental health. And my favorite way to do that is with the help of Talkspace.
If you've ever even considered therapy for a passing moment, but you ended up talking yourself out of it for one reason or another, you've got to check out Talkspace. I myself have been talked out of seeking help in the past because of time commitments, having to leave the house, having to try and find a babysitter, yada, yada, yada. We can find a therapist that works with my schedule, whatever. But with Talkspace, all my fears or concerns with traditional therapy are totally gone, because for starters, the whole thing is online. Mm-hmm. You can send and receive unlimited messages with your therapist right on the platform 24/7. And I know from experience how hard it can be to find a therapist that's the right fit for what you're going through, which is one of the other amazing things about Talkspace. They have thousands of licensed therapists that specialize in over 40 different fields.
Mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter what you're going through. Your perfect match is somewhere in the Talkspace network. And the best part, broads, is the price, honestly. Traditional therapy can cost hundreds or even thousands of dollars. With Talkspace, you'll pay just a fraction of the cost.
You know, my therapist has given me really practical guidance that has really changed my life for the better. Seriously, like really helped me in my day-to-day life. And I'm so glad I found Talkspace and got the support that I need. And you can too. As a listener of the show, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. You can match with a licensed therapist today by going to Talkspace.com or download the app. And make sure you use our code Chatty. You're going to get $100 off your first month and you can show your support for the show. That's Chatty at Talkspace.com.
Broads, I already know this brand I'm about to tell you all about needs little to no introduction. If you're a longtime Chatty Broads listener, mm-hmm. then you've heard Becca and I talk about how much we love it. So let's sing it, baby.
Ready?
FabFitFun.
You know, okay, you're doing something with new today.
It's new. I mean, with the Zoom delay, you know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit funky, but we're working with it.
That was purposeful. We're trying to do a little layering.
It was artistic. It was dynamic, just like FabFitFun. Okay. Mm. Let me tell you about the new Spring Box. The Spring Box is out and I cannot contain my excitement. I got a sneak peek of the product list and oh my Lord, it may be my favorite box yet.
Well, and that's saying a lot since Jess and I have been FabFitFun box receivers for a while now. And if you aren't familiar with FabFitFun, here's the 411. Here's the deets, broads. FabFitFun is the premier lifestyle subscription box that delivers full-sized, not little samples, beauty, wellness, and lifestyle products to your door once a season. In case you missed that, yes, I said you get full-sized products delivered to your door once a season, a whole box full of them. You get an entire box of gifts from the most sought-after brands once a season just for being a member. The theme for this spring box is Grow Forth, and they're 100% focused on supporting self-care and self-growth with this box, which I love.
Like I said, the items offered in the box are so good. We're talking things from brands like Milk Makeup, Splendid, Our Place, Grown Alchemist. I mean, some seriously in-demand products. I already went online and picked out my customizations for this box because I could not wait. So I went with the, I never know how do you pronounce this, but the Alamus Papaya Enzyme Peel, which I've tried to get twice before, but it always sells out.
Oh.
And now I can get it through FabFitFun. I'm so excited. And for another customization, I picked the Camp Collection dip dye tote, which is going to make my grocery store trips 100% chicer. I can already tell.
Love that. Okay, so order your spring box today. Sign up now. You can snag some amazing products like the Elemis, whatever, peel, or the Camp Collection tote when you customize. Use coupon code CHATTY for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. Don't miss out on $10 off your first box at fabfitfun.com, promo code CHATTY. We still say www. I didn't know that was a thing we did. The World Wide Web.
The World Wide Web. Well, okay, Broads. So then going back to the show, we see Heather. She pulls up in her her Dodge Grand Caravan, like her Nissan Quest, her Kia Carnival. I'm not sure what form of
Honda CRV.
I'm not 100% sure what minivan they allowed her to get. And she pulls up to the shock and awe of some poor security guard that they probably just paid an extra $20 tip to try to act like he didn't know what was going on.
Oh, my God. Chris is like, what, Heather? And then I'm sorry, Jess. When they were screaming at each other from 30 feet away.
So
with the boom guys going like this from 20 feet away.
I mean, it's just like, okay. I don't know how dumb you all think we are, production, but we know this is, you all know about this. So the fact of the matter is, I know you're doing this whole like, let's be really far away because of COVID times, but yet Heather's not wearing a mask. Why couldn't she just have a mask on and been a smidgy closer or something, I guess? And also like... And she doesn't have to wear a mask, but the security guard and the boom guys do. But they're just like, she's just, hi, Chris, 100 feet away. They keep the camera so far away from Chris Harrison's face. It could have been a stunt double of his and we wouldn't have been able to tell with just a voiceover of Chris Harrison.
Oh, my God. The moment that I did love from Chris, though, it's a shame we won't see him on future seasons because of this moment. I have to say, when he said, why don't you go back to your motel? I died. I'm going to take this up the hill. Why don't you go back to your motel? He didn't even say hotel. He said motel. The shade.
We know you know, you don't have tons of followers, so you didn't get quite that batch money. So why don't you just enjoy your cute motel and I'm going to be back at the Nima Colin Palace. Also, on the same interview that Chris Harrison did with Rachel Lindsay, there was a section where he talked about Heather showing up and there was some major shade factors going on. First and foremost, he said, and this is what Chris Harrison says, which he was fully caught in a lie in it, which kills me. He was like, you know, Rachel was just like, oh, you guys doing her dirty, like letting her show up this late in the game. And, you know, she's going to walk into a whole thing. And Chris was like, OK, first of all, I didn't know about it. Production knew about it. And then a few minutes later, he was just like, well, when I knew that Heather was showing up and we had told her that she shouldn't, I'm like, okay, Chris, like you literally catch him in a full blown, he fully contradicted, lied. It was so blatant. I'm dying. But what he said, what he said is this shady motherfucker, you know, who knows? He said that they didn't contact Heather, that Heather contacted them, but who he specifically put the blame on was Hannah Brown.
Yeah, I believe that.
He goes, Hannah Brown was reaching out to producers and it was like she would not stop. Like she kept reaching out and we told them no. We shut them down and we said no. But they wouldn't stop reaching out to production. And then he said that, and then he's like, yeah, and then Heather showed up and we had no idea. Like producers knew a couple days ago before and then they let me know. So I'm like, oh, so you're saying that you knew obviously when she walked up, you're admitting it and acting like you don't. Like you're whatever, but he legit said that they kept pushing it even though they shut them down and then Heather just showed up.
I kind of believe it. I believe it.
I believe that I could see her showing up But it's like, they obviously knew everything that was going down the whole time when she was
No, I believe the Hannah Brown and Heather pushing for it.
And he's
the best friend thing, being like, oh my God, no, he's so your person. Like, we've got to get you on there. Okay,
well,
so
then we see. Well,
we're gonna talk about Heather, which, by the way, I've grouped up all of her. I thought we'd talk about this when she comes in at the end. I've grouped up all her little clips that we see throughout the episode.
You mean the Heather Quarantine Chronicles?
It's the worst.
When it was happening, I was sitting watching this episode alone, and I looked to the person next to me who was no one because I was by myself, and I go, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I watching this goddamn show?
First of all, I'm so sorry. This is said with peace and love. Someone please get Heather to stop doing under eye eyeliner.
Yeah, no, I'm not a huge fan of that.
Please don't do it.
Yeah.
Please don't.
I used to do a lot of underline eyeliner. So
I'm just saying this as a friend. Just don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anyone who's not telling you as a friend isn't a friend. I'm looking at you, Hannah Brown. No, just kidding. Okay. So the weird clips of her, though, were not funny. Oh, my God. It was so cringe. And I know that, it's not her fault. It just was like,
I know.
I know. The Rapunzel. My God.
And you're like, oh, the Rapunzel.
It was scary. The Rapunzel one was scary.
she's like, mad. It's like, somebody tell her to stop. The pizza, she's just balancing with the pizza box. And you're just like,
what's the worst thing about it is that she really thought it was going to be like the endearing clips of her at the beginning of her journey to get engaged to Matt.
I know. And honestly, there's this thing about Heather, and I felt it in Colton's season. Like, there's major cringe energy, like big, big cringe energy. But she seems so nice that, like, the cringe energy with, like, Pilot Pete, for instance, his cringe, it makes me, like, laugh and I enjoy it because I'm like, he's just a cringe guy and he, like, leans into that. Heather, I have a hard time watching because it's so cringy, but I also, like, she's so sweet and I'm like, I feel so uncomfortable.
You just feel bad.
I want to like call her up and be like, girl, I know I don't know you, but like, this just has to stop.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's how I feel. I feel like bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be mean to her. I'm just like, someone tell her.
I know. Don't show up. Don't do this. This is not a good look. I have a feeling that you're going to get sent home really quick because from the reaction of the women, it was like, if he keeps her, we're leaving. Like, I don't think Heather's going to be around. Wait.
Matt's reaction when she walked in. I'm just going to go there. The episode ends there, but I just got to go there now. He just laughed a little too hard. And when he said to
Piper,
I thought it was Piper. When he said to Piper, I'll just need a couple minutes.
And the way he
in Heather's heart
and the way he turned around and was like, very like, it was like, babe, I got you. Let me just handle this for a second.
You know what I think the backstory of this is? Like, it's the kind of thing where Hannah would be FaceTiming Tyler. Yeah, and
I wrote
that.
I wrote down FaceTiming. Oh, God.
And Heather would be like, let me talk to Matt. Like, no, I want to talk to Matt. And Matt's all like, oh, my God. In the background, like, no, I don't want to talk to her. He's like, Tyler, no. Tyler's like,
oh,
come say hi, Matt. Get over here.
Oh, my whole body hurts. I feel
like it's like the junior hire who has the crush on like the senior. And he's just like, I'm not supposed to be talking to you.
And it made it even more painful that like 80% of the girls had no idea who she was. It hurt so bad. I could barely watch. I truly could barely watch.
So I can't wait to talk more about Heather next week.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we get a by the way, when Heather leaves, Chris Harrison literally said, that's just bizarre.
Hi. Baby shoes. Yep, I know. Give them to Dada. Thank you. Oh, just put him there in front of the door. You can just put him down on the floor. Oh, thank you. Thanks, baby. Thank you. Goodbye. Thanks, baby. That's good. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So, we have to talk
it's
about.
It's like a person that you want to link. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Bye-bye, honey. Thank you. Yes, thank you. You know I've got this. Thank you.
You leave that in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so okay. We've got to talk about Piper's one-on-one. Yes. Oh my God, my new queen.
Obsessed. I'm going to make this very, very clear. By a mile, my new favorite.
Me too. Me fucking too. You know why, Jess? Because when she got in her, when she got her dinner portion of the date, she's like, I just want my mom to call me up and tell me I'm proud of me. I was like, well, I felt that.
Of you, and I was like, Beck and I are both watching you with a tear in our eye, being like, this feels a little close. But I fucking love that shit. Okay, we got to talk about that because it was just so it was so good.
First of all, the carnival was creepy. The absence of the carnies in who are usually the creepiest part of the carnival, there weren't any, which made the carnival even creepier.
Also, the discovery of the carnival, like it's like here,
murder.
Yeah, take this lantern and let's walk into the forest. And then they flip the switch, and I was dying because the last time we saw a switch flipped was when Tayshia got one Ferris wheel, and that was the big shock and awe of the whole season. Her other carnival scene was with Brendan, where there was one weird shitty pop up thing, and now they get a whole damn. Matt gets a full carnival.
But it is the stuff of Stephen King novels.
No, it's horrifying. Now, what I need to know, was there any music playing in the background? Because the thing is, with those lights, you expect fair like carnival music. And with the absence of music, a dead silent carnival.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Horror. Pure horror.
OK, so that was horrifying. Now, for the evening portion of the date. Everything she was saying.
Yes.
And you know.
Go ahead. Sorry. It was the Zoom delay.
You know, people are giving Matt shit for falling in love with a lot of girls. I'm sorry. He has had some like good connections with many of these women. And I can't fault him for it. And so, of course, he's now falling in love with Piper, too, along with Bree, along with Rachel, along with Abigail, along with Michelle, along
with Rachel. Listen. Here's the thing, though. He didn't say, Piper told him, I'm falling in love with you, and he didn't reciprocate at all, which made me very nervous, and I felt very scary rage because of all the girls that I wanted him to respond back to.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing with the conversation with Piper, too, and I know we talk about it. We talk about how it's always the whole, like, I have a hard time opening up. And it's like, all right, you know what? You're on a reality TV show. So, like, obviously, you know, not that hard of a time, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Piper was the perfect example of a communicative explanation of struggle, real struggle to open up, where it's like, I mean, the level of communication to just be like, yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm a little concerned that, like, my actions are I love you, but like I have a hard time saying I love you because my family, we just didn't do that. Like, I wish my mom would call me up and tell me she loved me and she was proud of me. And I was like, this was so, I had chills the whole time. I was getting emotional because it was like, it felt like an incredibly real relationship conversation. Like, I've been dating someone for a month and we've been going out on a bunch of dates and now we're sitting down and I'm explaining to you a struggle that I have with, maybe if I'm not letting you know with my words well that I'm really into you, it's because of this. And then when Matt was saying to her, like, we can work through that together. Like, I struggle with that too. It was like, oh. And on top of everything else, we've seen Piper, and then we see her later, her reaction to Heather. That's why she's my favorite. She's not just like just pure, I love Matt and I'm here for the right reasons and I have all the right answers. She's just like, she was just like getting super hot about the Heather thing and was like, absolutely not. Like, I love her energy. She is the
She's Piper.
Just cool. Piper's just cool.
I've got to say too, just got a note that then when they had their private dance, Temecula Road killed it.
I regretfully agreed, because when they first walked in and I was like, who is this group? It's not anyone from Listen to Your Heart, first of all.
I was also like, Matt's trying to add these girls onto his season.
Yes, definitely. I also wrote down, I'm like, are these kids from TikTok? Because they look like three TikTokers.
Straight up.
And then they started singing and I was like,
you guys nailed it.
It was
actually one of the better live shows we've seen.
Yeah, their
like
harmonies.
They were on point.
It was a 10 out of 10 for me. It was very good. I was like, and then they had the Christmas trees around too. And then Piper and Matt were making out 2 feet
in front of them. It was pretty dope. It was a good scene. I got to say, it was a good fucking scene. And it was like they were singing to them, but it actually like kind of wasn't awkward. It was like, it was good.
You know why I didn't feel like it was awkward, and it was maybe the first time I ever felt that way? I think one of the reasons that it didn't feel weird is because Piper, this is going to sound, I don't know if this sounds mean to everyone else on the franchise, but Piper and Matt are cool. Like, they're cool. They seem like cool people.
Oh, totally. Like, the jokes they were making in the car with each other, it was kind of like they were on the same page.
Yeah, and so their energy, like, in front of a performance, it wasn't like, I have to put on a certain thing, and there was no nervous energy. It was kind of just like, they're just chill, and it felt very, like, I don't know. It was hard to explain. Yep. But even if Temecula Road would have sucked, I don't feel like I would have felt uncomfortable energy like I normally do in a live performance from...
Agreed.
The contestant in the lead.
Jess, there's something fucking crazy we need to talk about.
Well, are you talking about the fact that they literally moment by moment, action by action, ripped off an entire date from your season?
What's crazy is on Patreon, we literally just posted the recap about that this week, about that exact episode.
Are you serious?
Life imitates art. Art imitates life. This week, the same jerseys. I love what cheap bastards they are on this show. They are the same jerseys, Jess.
The same ones. The same exact ones.
The same ones on the bowling date. In case you don't know what I'm talking about, on the season of The Bachelor that I was on, there is an episode where we're recapping the whole season on Patreon right now. Gray and I are. And literally, we just watched it where on the bowling date, we wear these jerseys. We compete to win nighttime with the lead. And then what happens is, guess what? Surprise, surprise. The lead lets both teams on. Now, it didn't work, though, the way it did on my season, because on my season, Crystal, like, lost her shit, freaked the fuck out, and there was major drums. It didn't really happen on this episode.
Well, also, Matt did not lick the bowling ball like Ari decided to lick the bowling ball.
But the way that Matt told the girls that they were getting to go on the night portion of the date was shady. They made him send a note. You know he didn't want to do this. But Ari, this is the difference. Ari did. When we just watched the episode, Ari like immediately was like, I don't know. I think both teams should come, because he wanted some of the girls that were on the losing team.
The losing team. Yeah.
Yes. Matt was straight up like, sorry, ladies, that's the name of the game. He was like, just like,
So I wrote down, because, okay, so long story short, the pink team won, the blue team lost, and then the blue team had to get sent home and the pink team gets to go on a date. Well, immediately I wrote down, I'm like, he's obviously not following in Ari's footsteps, though, because he's just kind of like, sorry, I feel bad, but like, bye, ladies. And then I thought, I'm like, they're not going to have it. And then the blue team has to get sent back home, defeated, upset. And the pink team gets to go and finally have some longer moments with him. And then all of a sudden that note shows up and it's from quote unquote Matt. That's like, please join us. And it was a full Ari moment. Except the difference was, we can cut to then the pink team that was having their moments with Matt. I mean, the reaction was so beyond gracious. Like, if I would have been one of the girls on the pink team, I would have been so pissed.
They were just like, ugh, damn it.
Yeah, they were bummed, and they were just like, this is so obnoxious, but like, okay, whatever. And they just rolled with it, and I was so impressed, especially because they've been torturing them this season. And so the fact that they have... I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe also that Michelle got the rose.
he likes Michelle. I like Michelle a lot, but he likes Michelle. They have major chemistry. I mean, in their date, that chemistry was, I think, the most intense I've seen so far.
And I thought that there was a good point made that someone else made, though, of like, oh, why wouldn't he give a rose to someone who like hasn't had that validation of like getting a one-on-one with them?
That's what Chelsea had said, because Chelsea was the one who was really struggling during the date and like explained to him like, hey, I'm sorry if it's been rough because I am struggling and it's hard for me to open up. And then she was like, well, Michelle's already had a one-on-one date, Matt. Maybe you want to throw me a rose here, like, to just confirm that you want me to be here still. But Matt gave that rose to Michelle.
Shit. All right. To wrap it, we've got, you know, I saw this coming.
Well, first of all, Matt had teased in extreme ways that Tyler was coming on the show and that he was going to fall for someone. And that was never really explained at all. So I don't know what they cut out. Like,
oh, you're right.
He like specifically was using these words. So I'm like, what did they cut out? Or was he talking about the massage therapist? Did Tyler try to hit on her and they cut that out because it looked sketchy or something? Like, and Matt didn't know?
Okay, first of all, this is the only person I can think of. And I was dying. I thought it was hilarious. It was so good.
I felt very uncomfortable because I felt like it felt slightly inappropriate and I was watching something I shouldn't, but I was also losing my mind crying laughing because it was just the touching made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, like
a little
the nipples,
bit.
I was like, oh, that seems like a little,
it seems a little inappropriate. But then when they got on speakerphone and I could not stop laughing,
dying.
So, Broads, Matt is on a one-on-one date with Katie, and of course, or he's going to have a one-on-one date with Katie. Of course, Tyler Cameron shows up, and it's just, you know, it's a whole thing. And they have their, like, bro moment where Tyler doesn't say anything really of value to Matt. And he then, by the way, as this is happening, as this episode is airing, Tyler Cameron is posting on his social media, like, he's saying you can like get more. Oh, he goes, for more convos like the one I had tonight with @MattJames919, swipe up to pre-order your book. And it's Tyler Cameron's book. That's the You Deserve Better. And Tyler posted that on his own Instagram. So he literally was like, if you want to get more amazing life advice, like what I told Matt tonight, swipe up and order your book.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Remember how I said they have a pool table in their other room?
I was thinking about it the entire time. I couldn't stop laughing.
Fully confirmed. Okay. By the way, I was going to say, so the date was that, which reminded me a lot of Tayshia with What's His Face on Tayshia's season where they did the haunted house. It was like, oh, fun, funny date. And then you're going to get sent home.
100%. Yes. With Easy. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, so the for Broads who maybe didn't watch the episode, because I know some people listen along, they're pranking Tyler. So what they're doing is Tyler's going to get a massage, but then Matt and Katie are in the other room giving instructions to the masseuse. So it was hilarious. I wanted to see Tyler's reaction, though, after they showed up and revealed to him that it was them. We didn't see like any of his reaction. He just got up and the scene was over.
Really, no, I know. I wanted the aftermath. When he, by the way, though, was about to he's like in his underwear and he's about to get a massage, and he fully checked himself out and Katie called him out for it. My favorite part of the whole thing was watching the pure joy that Matt was experiencing doing this to his friend.
No. And Matt was screaming.
It was hilarious. And you know, by the way, this was the only date idea that was Matt's. That Matt was just like, we gotta fucking prank my bro Ty. We gotta fucking get Ty. This is gonna be crazy.
It was so, so good.
Like, Like, Matt could care less about Katie on that date. He was just living for his
Katie
life.
Katie was just the vessel for the prank, you know? And Katie had some good suggestions. Matt was like, I never would have thought of that. That's hilarious. Let's do it. You know, he was so down for it.
So but, then when they're on the phone, alas. And when they're on the phone and she calls the massage therapist and is just like, and the massage therapist like, oh my God, let me take this quick. It's like, oh my God, you won't believe who it is. Tyler from Hannah's season. And he's even hotter in person. And Tyler, you see him look up and like, look at her.
He's like, bitch, what the fuck? You ballsy. That's what he was thinking. And he's like, he's like,
the look up I couldn't handle. It's just like, but what if he hit on her? What if he and that's who he fell for, and that's who Matt was talking about, and they fucking edited that. I mean, I don't know. Because then of course Matt wants to take it to the next level. So Matt then goes into the room and pours half of a bottle of massage oil all over his hands.
Oh my God, that killed me.
And starts to massage Tyler's back. And let me make something very clear. He has the most gorgeous, like, delicate hands I've ever seen. Yes. Long fingers. Looked like a beautiful woman's hands. And he, because of those gorgeous hands, Tyler had no idea it was Matt until he could, like, he knows his friend's best friend's smell. They live in the same room together, and then he could feel him hovering over him, and he smelled Matt. And that's yes. why he knows. He's like, I know that cologne. And Tyler turned around. Bro. And it was like, and you saw Katie's joy, by the way, of being like, I am with Tyler and Matt, because later in her date with Matt, she mentioned, she goes, and it was a moment where I was like, no, Katie, don't say that, where she was like, oh my God, you and Tyler are more than just friends. You are brothers. And I'm like, you're revealing that you've Insta-stalked them because you've been watching them for a while, and you know, like, you threw that out there.
That
and you
was
saw
so
them.
Cringe. I was like, I looked at Gray and I was like, how does she know?
She just fully revealed that she's like a fan and that she's been watching them.
Cringe.
Which I all of us would have. Please, let's be real. But
no, you never admit that. You'd be like, who's he again?
You never admit it.
What's
never
his?
Admit
who's
it.
He? How'd you guys meet? What was it? Taylor? Tyler.
Tyler, oh, that's, so nice to meet you. Yeah,
that's how
yeah.
you play it. Okay, look, y'all, I'm gonna be straight right now. Katie does not deserve this rushness, but my man's got to go to work. I gotta yes. take care of the kids. So
yeah.
look, bada bing, bada boom. Our girl Katie is donezo, and
as soon as they started to talk, there was not chemistry.
There hasn't been chemistry, unfortunately.
No, it's definitely a friend. Vibes. It's friend vibes for sure. So we will miss you, Katie. You will be very missed. I was sad that you had to go, and Serena felt like she succeeded in that because that had nothing to do with her. And that bothered me.
But we'll see you on Paradise with Blake.
We'll see you on Paradise with Blake. Also, Broads, sorry if this feels like a spoiler. It's been it's been taken back. But there was a whole thing going around. Reality Steve was saying Katie is the new Bachelorette. And then Katie posted and said, this is all news to me. And then Chris Harrison confirmed with Rachel, because they were saying they found out at the Women Tell All that they announced who the next Bachelorette was and that it's Katie. And Chris Harrison said, that's news to me if that's the case, because he said, we did not record anything of the sort at Women Tell All. We did not announce anyone. That's not, he's like, we have not decided, blah, blah, blah. So unless they're fully lying to us.
Yeah, like, it might have been in the talks, but they just haven't even told. I mean, you know, they do tell the leads literally the night before.
That's what I'm saying. It's like they don't know until and of course, I'm sure Katie will be in the running to be next Bachelorette because she was such a fan favorite. But
they still got weeks to go in this
season,
though, y'all.
We have weeks. We have weeks.
Hometowns is still weeks away.
Yeah.
Like, at least a couple.
So,
but yeah. Anyway, I'm looking forward to diving into the next episode, watching the cringe that is poor Heather.
Oh, when Heather came walking in and literally she got stuck at the door, and you hear Brie go, oh, 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 I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it. And then Heather's stuck at the door, and then she goes walking in and just does like a, not even a teeth, a tooth smile, just like a with the hand smile, and just walks right on by them in her wedding dress, which was a beautiful dress, by the way, but was a full wedding dress. I cannot wait. Well,
All right, Rods.
We will be chatting. We will be back to our regular scheduled program next week. So we'll be chatting with you about the next episode on Tuesday. In the meantime, happy birthday, my queen. Enjoy your day. Love you lots, Becca. Love you lots, Broads. And we'll chat soon.
Chat soon.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.